trying to meet you.
You're listening to Podcast on Fire. It's Asian cinema in a podcast with your hosts, the magnificent trio of Stu, Ken, and Mike.
Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire, episode 56. No, 66. Yes, got there eventually. I'm your host, Stuart Sutherland. Joining me this evening, we have Ken.
Hello.
And we have Mike Banner.
Hello.
So, a new year and a new podcast for you to listen to. Last movies watched, Ken?
Rewatched The Red Wolf. I'm not calling it Red Wolf. I'm calling it the Red Dash Wolf, because that's what's on screen. Yuva Ping film, 1995. Many people know of this. It's a basic, cheap, and I say very cheap copy of Die Hard, Under Siege. I guess you can say City Hunter as well, because Hong Kong had its own sort of Die Hard or Under Siege. Movie set on a boat, but this is a lot more cheaper, and you have a really not so magnificent leading man in the form of Kenny Ho, a fair to distractingly annoying ditzy leading lady, which is Christy Chung, and you have Yung Wo Ping directing it, and thankfully eventually it kicks a lot of ass. Because, you know, they might have had the aim of shooting, you know, on a big luxury boat, and therefore the movie will appear big and epic, because they're going to blow stuff up and fight. But it looks, you know, cheap, and the direction of the story is basic at its best. But, you know, if you have a lot of tricks in your bag, then you can survive providing just a little basic frame story of stuff, and Yuva Ping has some stuff in his bag, along with his other action directors. He didn't do this on his own, so brother Yun Chung Yan and Cho Wing, who's in this movie as well, they directed the action, and the sole casting that works is Elaine Loi, who plays one of the terrorists. She was in The Bride with White Hair. She's the other half of the Siamese twin brother-sister. And the other half is Frances from The Bride with White Hair. She was in Martial Law, apparently. I don't know how many episodes she was in, but apparently she was in Martial Law. Do you guys remember seeing her or seeing Martial Law at all?
I'd only seen a few episodes. I've never properly followed it. Mm.
Same here.
Mark Dacascos probably was in that show more than Elaine Loi, but I wouldn't know. Maybe it's time for a revisit that show. But anyway, what's fun about this movie? It has a kind of a mean streak. It's really violent, and innocents are killed quite frequently in this movie, and it's really at the hands of Elaine Loi, who's deliciously uber evil. And bullets fly into anyone, basically, and violence in the latter half of the film is quite gruesome. There's a scene where a character is set on fire, and you see the aftermath, and you know that character being quite tormented. It's a graphic sight. But when you lead into the action, of course, which is basically the sole interest of this movie, Yuva Ping is not at that gunplay as such. It seems to be a lot of focus on gunplay, but eventually they start to choreograph some really, really painful action, painful stunts rather, and hard-hitting fights. Some wicked falls through windows and from high heights onto stuff, you know, beneath. So it's hard landings. Which is all good fun, and the best fight, for my money's worth, is between up on outside, on the boat, on the deck, between Kenny Ho and Australian kickboxer Habby Heskey, which apparently had no huge experience appearing in Hong Kong flavored action, but it does quite well. It's a very fast, of course, it's not 24 frames per second, obviously, it's undercrank, but it's a very fast exchange of kicks and fists, and also, you know, combining some stunts in that fight. It's really, really memorable. And that's basically it. It's a fun film. It gets better as it goes along, and the action, you know, is good enough for you to forget that it's not a very good movie, and it certainly can't be in the same league as Die Hard or Under Siege or Under Siege 2 or, you know, any other cheap American film. It's a very different movie from City Hunter, obviously, because City Hunter had its mangas, its source, and it had Wong Jing at the top of things, and that means that Jackie Chan movie had its unique, let's say, attitude about things, and people should know very well what that means. People have very distinct memories of City Hunter, and so I'll leave it at that. But I liked Red Wolf. Probably the third time I watch it now, and it's still fun.
I didn't get on with that film at all. I bought the had it on Hong Kong Legends DVD. Mm. Watched it once. Listened to the date between Bay Logan and Christy Chung.
I.e. the audio commentary.
Yeah. Halfway through that, got a bit bored, turned it off. I just watched too many Hong Kong action films at that point. I was on too much of a run and watched too many good ones. When I just got to that, and it was just, it was every 80s and early 90s Hong Kong action film in one go.
It's certainly not, it doesn't stand out in any way, really. But it, for me, it delivers good action, and not, you know, superb action, as opposed to a lot of films that you probably watched at that time.
It's all right. Probably give it a Stu Sutherland. It's all right.
There we go.
I wouldn't, you know.
I would agree with that.
I wouldn't be offended and walk out if somebody put it on, but neither would I request it. Or be bothered about owning a copy?
In terms of modern-day Yuen Woo Ping action, obviously, the Tiger Cage movies are much more warmly recommended. They're more bearable as movies as well. Tiger Cage 1 and 2 are quite different, though. Both has Donnie Yen, but the second one has Donnie Yen. You know, it's more of a showcase for him. In the first one, I think, and I'm going to spoil it for you, but I think he dies. The first Tiger Cage, but it's more a thriller, that it's not you know, there's no sword fights and stuff like that, but the
crap anyway, so I wouldn't get too bothered about it.
Yeah, I liked it. Not too memorable, but I liked it. I haven't seen the third one with Michael Wong.
Yeah, well, that's a lot, that's quite rare, that one. I hear that it's got some decent action in it, though. And Tiger Cage 2 has got some good fights, ruined by Donnie's attempt at comedy.
Yeah, that I do remember. That wasn't...
Attempted to crowbar some kind of laughs into it. Bad.
And have some romantic or comical chemistry with Rosamund Kwan. I don't think that was too memorable either. But many people tend to love and quote the Tiger Cage 2 a lot, but I think it's more due to the action highlights than anything else.
I think it's more down to the last, like, 20 minutes.
Mm, exactly. Did you see Red Wolf?
I watched it a few years ago, and it was just my neutral response of, it was all right, it wasn't amazing, and it wasn't rubbish. Yeah. I just kind of sat there in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Most things are kind of all right, and then a fair portion of crap, and then a few are really good. Mm-hmm. This is the way things are in life.
Yep. Easily digestible as well, which is always good. It came and went.
Maybe like a packet of salt, like, you know, just salted crisps.
Right, Ken, so any other films?
Nah, not this week.
Okay. Mike?
I didn't bother watching anything. I have got a Last Trailers watch, though.
Awesome, brilliant.
Well, I checked out a couple. The first one is Triple Tap.
Oh, yeah.
Which, upon first, you know, I was a little surprised to find out it wasn't a sequel to Double Tap.
There was no Single Tap either.
Well, yeah, there wasn't a Single Tap, but there was a Double Tap. But Leslie Jung film.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then thought it'd be a sequel. It's not. Directed by Derek Yee. And it's got quite a good cast, actually. Daniel Wu, Louis Koo, Charlene Choi. Pretty good. There's a teaser trailer at the moment, which is... It's only about a minute long, I think. Minute 10 seconds, something like that. Annoyingly, the first 25 seconds is the logo of one of the distribution companies.
Yeah.
Which is a waste of time. You know, whatever. But I... There's a kind of cliche in football world, soccer, if you will, which is... Because the league starts in September, ends in May. And one of the cliches is you can't win the league before Christmas, but you can lose it. You know, not likely to be able to win me over with a teaser trailer, but you can damn well certainly put me off. And this trailer has succeeded in putting me off, as it's utterly ludicrous. Even that 40 seconds of trailerage. All right, then, so the story is Louis Koo is a marksman, you know, gun competitions, kind of Olympic shooting stuff, targets, that kind of marksman, and jumps out and uses his marksman skills to take out the robbers. Apparently he shoots Daniel Wu, who is a copper, and they end up having a rivalry with each other because the copper turned out to be also one of his fellow competitors in a marksman competition that he just won. Which is a nice coincidence, but the teaser trailer is him just popping out and shooting people with ridiculous accuracy, and them flying all over the place, and it just looks really it looks silly. I mean, maybe that's what they're going for, just kind of a silly, fun action movie. But yeah, it's kind of put me off. It looks just a little bit too stupid for my liking.
Plot sounds. Fairly similar to the first movie, Double Tap, actually. But that kept, you know, it was grounded somewhat. It was the over-the-topness came via Leslie Jung's performance, which I didn't mind. I mean, anytime Leslie Jung sort of stopped playing, you know, the pretty boy, it was kind of fun, and to see his mean streak, and there's some really mean stuff in Double Tap, but that unfortunately is cut out, because I think there's a scene, was a scene in Double Tap where he basically shoots, pedestrians on the street, mm-hmm. in front of Alex Fong's character, who I believe was the cop in that first movie. But if Derek Yee is going to some acrobatic heroic bloodshed. Going for some of that style, you never know how that's going to work today.
Yeah, well, it's only a teaser trailer, try not to rip on it too much, but yeah, it's put me off a little bit. The second trailer I'm going to talk about, however, which is also a Hong Kong film, has actually got me interested in a film I didn't know anything about until I saw the trailer and the poster, which is Black Ransom. Which stars Simon Yam. I believe it's written and produced by Wong Jing, but don't let that put you off, because it actually looks quite good. I don't know anything about the story. I'm not that bothered, to be honest. But the trailer has got somebody getting kidnapped. It's got Simon Yam looking kind of gnarled and, you know, world-weary. It's got bullet point of view shots as it goes through some sniper's eyeball. It looks like it's got a bit of kind of martial arts, a bit of kung fu. I think Andy On's in it, so there's a good chance he's the one doing the scrapping. Mm-hmm. It was a Mexican standoff. And, yeah, it just looks good. I think it looks like a whole lot of fun to me.
It's co-directed by Wong Jing and was with Venus Gung. A cinematographer who makes his second movie. He made a movie that not many people liked. Some people really hated it, but I kind of dug it because it didn't take itself too seriously, and that was Bullet and Brain with Francis and Anthony Wong. Eric Tsang as well. Gangster actioner, but really lighthearted and fun. So Venus, the cinematographer, he seemed to have... you know, that kind of thinking is not necessarily a bad thing to make standard cliches kind of fun and relaxed. I'm reading one of the AKAs. If it's true or not, I don't know. It might have been known at one time as Mutant Cops, which gets me very interested. This movie, Black Ransom. I just thought of a trailer I watched the other day, speaking of Wong Jing, and I'm really not keen on watching that movie, and it's Future Ex-Cops. Did anyone see that trailer? That very low-res trailer on YouTube.
I've seen a little bit. Is that the one where they're having a big fight in kind of a warehousey, like a disused Bond villain's...
Yeah, and in our robots. The low-res trailer, even the CGI look horrendous in that. Imagine when it's blown up to fucking high def or something. Holy shit. And it might be a really annoying and dumb and unbearable film. Because look at, like, Jeff Lau's Kung Fu Metallic Cyborg, whatever the fuck it was called.
Transformer ripoff thing.
Yeah, exactly. Could have been enormously fun. And apparently it sucks ass like you wouldn't believe, and it's unbearable as a movie too, probably too long. And so Future Ex-Cops, no thank you. And apparently it's not going to slide along the lines of Future Cops. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a silly unbearable movie. Seems like it's going to be a very silver like futuristic, you know, fighting robots movie. Wonder where Wong Jing got that idea.
I really think there is going to be one moment where Andy Lau, there will be a scene with Andy Lau just doing his thing, and his suit will probably be made out of tinfoil. Cardboard and tinfoil. It'll be like a bike helmet wrapped in tinfoil. He just puts it on and gets on his wee motorcycle and flies away.
I don't know, it could be so bad it's good. It's got that vibe coming off it to me, that it could be a kind of late night... with the lads.
Oh, no.
Or lasses.
I think it would be late night lads rip the piss out of you for making them watch such a film.
maybe. Who knows?
I don't know. I'm drawing to comparisons for some reason. I'm sorry if this is offending you, Stu. The Wesley's Mysterious Files, which looks kind of similar in design, and it's got CGI, and it's sci-fi to some extent. It's more supernatural. But did you ever watch that Wong Jing Andrew Lau film?
Nope.
Okay. Because that as well looks like great fun when cut, you know, together like into a 3-4 minute movie. But apparently the Wesley's Mysterious Files is also one of those newish Hong Kong CGI extravaganzas that is just boring. Mm-hmm. Bad and boring. Bad is not necessarily a bad thing. But add boring on top of that, and then you're in danger.
Back to Black Ransom, my kind of last point on it. The trailers, the poster's quite interesting as well. Now, if your poster's meant to kind of sum up your film and give people an idea of what they're in for, then we're in for a film that's got some fun and interesting stuff in, but is poorly made. Because the poster is... We'll start with the bottom half. It's got all the, you know, the credity type stuff, and then it's got like a girl who appears to be pretty much naked. You can't see any, like, root parts or anything. and gagged and bound and everything, hanging out of an open cardboard box which is facing you. And then the top flap of the cardboard box has got the kind of the title written on it in English and Chinese, which looks really cool. And it's got kind of splatter effects in the background and on the front. And I think that looks really good. It's a really striking image and really interesting. Kind of makes you think of, you know, well, you know, gives you an idea that there's a kidnapping and it looks kind of brutal and kind of a bit Cat 3 and a bit exploitation and everything. But not overboard, kind of not too tacky, I don't think. But then the top half of the poster is one of those really horrible, everybody looking out into the middle distance, trying to look cool in leather jackets. Poster that's on every film with like three heads at the top. One the star heads. In the middle. Yeah, it's really boring and crappily done. And then at the top of the poster, for some reason, they've got this massive like burst of light, kind of like a lens flare type thing,
just means glowing over their head.
So either God has just popped out of a cloud above them to say something, or it's almost as if like the boat doing the poster has made a massive mistake at the top and thought, ah, shit, I'm going to cover that up. I know, I'm just going to blob a big splat of light on there. So it's half a really good poster and half a really crappy one that looks kind of half-arsed.
Yeah, it seems very busy, too busy. Yeah. You know, you could have two posts that have the crappiness on one post and that striking image on its own.
Well, I think, you know, the striking image would work, and maybe just Simon Yam at the top, like maybe just his head looking kind of, you know, pissed off or upset or something and a bit dark and a bit moody. Looking straight at you, that would have been a cool image to go with that. But, you know. So, yeah, so I've got quite high hopes for that film.
All right.
Release date for this one. I think it's now in the beginning of this month. It might have already... It's the 6th of January today, so, and I have the 7th as its opening date. So it's opening tomorrow as of this recording, apparently, in Hong Kong.
So, could be
don't
good.
Watch it. Get back to us. Feedback. If you're in Hong Kong.
Do we actually have any Hong Kong listeners? Have we got any confirmed, sightings or admissions from Hong Kong listeners?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Yeah.
What do you mean, as far as you know?
Unless Mike Leader's moved.
He's all over the place, but yeah, that's confirmed. It's not visually confirmed. Like, he's sitting in front of the computer, thumbs up, listening to Podcast on Fire. It's not confirmed in that regard.
Well, I was thinking more like, you know, somebody had sent an email in saying, oh, you know, I'm John from Hong Kong and I love your show.
Anyone could do that, Mike. That, you've ruined my inbox now. I'm going to get like 4 or 5 emails for Jim.
Hi, I'm Steve from Cambodia.
Okay.
It's like, due to misfortune, I have a lot of money I need to put into a clean bank account. Now, if you send me $5,000.
And we're that desperate for emails, so we're going to reply to that one.
I should be getting a transfer in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
The guy seems legitimate. I mean, John St. John. Who, like, you can't make that name up.
It's a saint.
Sounds classy.
So, last movie watched for me, actually recently, I kind of got finger out of my arse and started watching movies from the banned list.
I was just about to ask you that, so yep. Well done, Stuart.
So, quick summary, Chaos, which was rubbish.
Yeah.
I rewatched Enter the Phoenix, which continues to amuse me. Other flicks included Mr. Vampire 1992, which treads familiar ground, as you could expect. And most recently, I have been rewatching the brilliant Japanese anime Laputa, Castle in the Sky.
Is it Ghibli, that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see, the plot for that was a young boy and a girl with a magic crystal must race against pirates and foreign agents in the search for the legendary floating castle.
Hey, Stu.
Yep.
Is there a Studio Ghibli film you don't like? And I mean, there's going to be some that you kind of, you know, you like more than others, but one you've watched and gone, that is shit.
There's not really been one that's made me think that is shit. There's, Graveyard of Fireflies is downright depressing. Like, after that film finished, just kill me now.
Is this still a good film, though?
Aye, but I would never recommend it. Like, if I knew a person that was too happy, it's alright, you need knocked down a notch, son. Right, GLNLS, this'll bring you back to earth.
Yeah, it's a healthy thing to go into movie depression for a while. That's my argument, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be a bit fucked up if you've watched the classics where it's like Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle. It's like, oh, these are all really great films. Oh, Graveyard of Fireflies, all right. Sounds a little bit different. Watch it.
Where is this in the timeline then? When is it made?
That's in this guy. Fuck, their films look so great, and it's amazing to find out, like, these films, like, Castle in the Sky, for example, which is a great film, and it was actually made in 1986.
Wow, even before Kiki's Delivery Service then. Wow. Mm-hmm.
So this is, like, one of the really early films. This was actually one of the films where it was before Studio Ghibli, but since since the company got big and stuff got released, it was actually originally a Toei logo, but it was now, all recent DVDs you're going to see has now been given the Studio Ghibli logo. Which, I remember when their first one, which was... what's it called? Nausicaa. Can't remember.
Valley of the Wind.
Aye, that. That was released as part of their Studio Ghibli box set, but that had nothing to do with the company. That was before the company was even formed. So when the movie started, it came up with all these different things. I think it was just the fact that it was Hayao Miyazaki directed it. So they just re-released it with the same cover art as the rest of the Ghibli box set. And of course it worked. It's a damn good film as well.
Well, I was going to say, I've never watched a Shaw Brothers film that I can think of right now, an actual proper Shaw Brothers production, that I haven't liked in some way, even the bad films. So that's why I asked you, you know, because I know you love the Ghibli. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's never really been one where it's like, oh, fuck. There's been the occasional one where it is just a clean-cut drama. There's no fancy elements to it at all, which does make it a little bit, maybe not as entertaining, but the story, it will still just be as good. I think it was the film Only Yesterday, which is more or less just a drama. And it makes me think that I would never expect there'd be an anime on just, like, a dramatic anime, because whenever you watch anime, there is always a really high sense of science fiction and fantasy. And it's like, and you can only see it through this medium, where it is really highly, well, it's animated, so they could get away with flying ships, this, that, and the next thing, creatures and that. But
Paprika.
Mm-hmm. They do things like that. They, of course, that's going to be mind-blowing if you had to try and make that a physical element, like if they had to make that live action, which supposedly they were trying. But the thing is, if it is just animated, they could get away with so much, but just to do a drama, just to draw a drama, it's like,
It's therefore, I'm sorry if we're not talking about the actual film, but I'm curious about Grave of the Fireflies. Is that kind of simply done, or does it have like epic war scenes, some scenes of bomb falling, or it's down to earth kind of thing?
I think there's not much scenes of war, but there's a lot of scenes of the aftermath, like places that have just been bombed, and they're going through the city and seeing the destruction, and they're pretty
sure. They're still very real.
Yeah, it's very sobering. But I was going to say I didn't have much to talk about Laputa, but I'm getting there. But I have looked up a couple facts. What's it? The English dub. Wait, no. Well, yes, it's the same point, but still. When it was released when it was originally released by Walt Disney, they had changed the English title of the movie to just Castle in the Sky, because the term Laputa actually translates to the word filthy whore in Spanish. So
that was a good fact.
So they took that out of the title.
I kind of make the fucking Disney bastard can't leave a film alone, can they?
Yep.
Unbelievable.
They also renamed one of the characters because her name was Cheetah, and which was spelled S-H-I-T-A. So they changed it to S-H-E-E-T-A. For obvious reasons.
It's offensive.
I mean, come on. Every film needs some shit.
Autistic integrity, goddammit.
You know, they got no respect for Asian filmmaking. That's the problem.
I know. Just come on. Let us have our filthy whores.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's
right.
make that pay.
That came right from the heart, that did, didn't it, Stu?
Yes.
That request.
I need my Spanish filthy. No.
You're being true to the Spanish-speaking audiences, so you're racist!
If anyone's not seen this movie yet, it is another really highly recommended. So, break.
All right, question this week that I provided, because I'm curious about things I don't know of and don't watch enough of, and Thai action is one of those things. So on the subject of that, I heard and read that there's an original Born to Fight made in like the 80s, and then of course the remade one from a few years ago that I have seen. So how does that compare, at least in terms of the action? Do you have like crazy stunts, fall, fights, but on a minute budget? And is it worth seeking out this original movie and other old ones, if there are other old ones that have been remade later? So I'll direct that one to Mike, because I think he's our resident Thai expert.
I know, Thai sweet action expert. Fuck all.
but after Mike, I would like your opinion, if you have one.
Then I'll pass the question back to Mike.
I'd put expert in the loosest definition. All right, then, so you've seen Born to Fight, then, Ken, the
yes.
Dan or Azzy...
Dance,
yeah.
Yes.
Dance Chupong. Right, that's an awesome film. I'm a big fan of that one. Slow start, but then it just builds into a big balls-out action fest. Okay, the original Born to Fight, which story-wise isn't the same at all, is kind of the same. There's a formula for the early Paniritikrai films, because he made a bunch of them in the 80s. And basically they used to like mobile projection kind of things, or they take the film around the country into the sticks in the countryside, and you know, to the people who weren't near cinemas and stuff and couldn't afford to, and they'd show them outdoors. And Panna got a bit of a kind of a small but kind of loyal bit of a cult following, because basically, you know, super cheap, churn them out. It was a kind of good guy, bad guy stuff, a little bit of, you know, backstabbing and revenge, and usually ends up in a cheap, flimsy little village where a lot of Thai stuntmen with no union, and one would imagine no health insurance, get thrown viciously or kicked viciously, punched viciously, kneed viciously and elbowed viciously in, onto and off flimsy wooden structures. So now Born to Fight is one of the best ones of this, which, I mean, you say track down, it's really, really easy to track down nowadays, because obviously after Ong Bak and all those films and Panna got a bit of a name amongst the fans, then some more of his films got knocked out, like Toby Russell with Rare Scope has put a few out, and obviously through his contacts in the US, through BCI, I think, they released.
Spirited Killer is one, isn't it?
Yeah, Spirited Killer, which I've got, which they I haven't watched yet, but it's got Tony Jaa's face front and centre. I think he plays a villain in that and has a bit of a scrap with Panna. I don't think it's supposed to be much cop. Born to Fight, I can't really remember the story, to be totally honest with you. According to the back of the case, it's untold action, insane stunts, and the realistic foot-to-face action we accept from Thailand's best. I think that's meant to say expect.
We accept that.
Or accept,
that you
who knows? Yeah. And this has got an English dub. It's a new kind of dub. It's not an original one or anything like that. But I quite like the dub, actually. It's a bit stupid, but it adds to the kind of cheapo nature. I mean, you've got Panna as the star, you've got a baddie, and then you've got the five same stuntmen appearing scene after scene. And so, you know, in one scene, they're all wearing balaclavas. Or in another scene, you know, they've got, you know, fake mustache on and a hat. So it's the same five guys getting the shit kicked out of them, basically. But yeah, it's just it's a bit slow. A review for one of the films is the same for most of them. It's a bit slow, but when you get into the action, there's just crazy stunts. There's a bike stunt in the original Bourne to fight. I mean, there's a couple in the remake with Dan Chupong, and Dan Chupong does a couple of the most mental stunts I have ever seen in a film. One of including riding a bike incredibly fast into a burning building, which then flips him off the bike and flying down a hill. It's just fucking crazy. And another one with a stuntman who rides his bike into a truck as it pulls out, which kind of flips the bike and sends him flying over the bonnet of the car. Madness.
I remember that opening stunt in Born to Fight. You know, there's two trucks, the new one. Two trucks riding along each other. And I think this was the case, that one stuntman falls or jumps from one of the trucks into the other side of the other, but bounces off that and onto the road. I mean, that could have gone horrendously wrong. He could have, like, been run over by the truck he originally jumped from.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of it. And there's no real way to fake that, because I'm sure they didn't do a blue screen thing.
No. I think the idea was that he was supposed to bounce off, kind of hit the truck and then splat in the middle. But he actually kind of got a bit of energy off the other truck and kind of actually properly bounced.
Yeah.
And so he bounced back at the truck he'd just jumped off. And the tires on the truck miss his head by, like, inches. It's a crazy stunt. But in the original Born to Fight, there's a stunt where Panna's on a motorbike without a helmet on, I'm pretty sure. And he flies off the end of the road and crashes into... Oh, no, that's... Yeah, some stunt guys fly off their bikes and crash into some signs on the side of the road. And then Panna does one where he crashes into a van and flies over it. Craziness.
I have a question, by the way. Panna was star and director at this time, and therefore was Tony Jaa. At this time, was he too young, by the way, Tony Jaa, to even appear in movies, or did he appear eventually later on in the 80s in his movies? Or
I don't know about the timeline of the Tony Jaa appearances.
When is Spirit the Killer from? When is that done?
You'd have to have a... Well, I don't know, to be totally honest. You'd have to have it yourself, but Tony's definitely in it. That's the best I can do for you.
Okay.
Born to Fight, he's not in there. Now, there's one, it's called Mission Hunter 2. And I believe the Thai name is Nuksu Dain Song Kram. And I think that's the first film that Tony appears in. Or one of the first, anyway. He turns up as a villain with a rubbish haircut.
And Spirit of the Killer was apparently done in 94, so I'm guessing Tony Jaa was a bit of a youngster around 86, 87.
Would have been far too young. So Born to Fight, that's easy to get hold of, and it's good fun. It's stupid, it's cheap, there's a few dull spots, but it makes up for it with just crazy, you know, throwing themselves into the action, you know, literally. And because it's so super cheap, you know, they're doing it, you know, they weren't going to become mega worldwide superstars. I think they were just doing it because they loved it, which kind of comes through. I think there's a lot of energy, kind of crazy energy.
And Panna survived all this, seemingly. I mean, he's not doing the same stunts nowadays because he would be kind of too old, I guess. I think you mentioned it before that he's... He was like the prototype for Tony Jaa. I mean, it's a previous incarnation of him in terms of doing crazy stunts. Anyway.
Oh yeah, when you watch him doing his he's doing his thing with the action, the fighting and the stunts and stuff, you can see that he's, you know, definitely a proto Tony Jaa. right? The cream of the crop. Now, the problem, well, there's a few DVDs released in the US and UK. Spirited Killer, Born to Fight, and Hard Gun. Now, Hard Gun and Spirited Killer are kind of sold on the fact that they've got Tony Jaa in them, and I haven't heard great things about them. Nope. Now, the other films that you're going to have to hunt out won't have English subtitles. So if that bothers you, then you're shit out of luck. There's Hard Tam Sung, which, by the way, if you do a search for Panaritacry or, you know, go to Ong Bak and then click on his name on Hong Kong HK Flicks, they sell loads of the VCDs without subs on the old ones from Thailand. And you can go on places like eticd.com or Thai Megamart, which has loads of them really cheap, which is where I got a lot of them from. Takes a little bit of a hunt, but yeah, Hard Tam Sung, I believe, I haven't seen it, but it's supposed to have some decent action. Sing Wing Lu, which I think you can see bits of on YouTube, which has like just the most brutal end scene with a dude like getting his head kicked through like some kind of table or board, and it's, you know, the dude's getting kicked in the head. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of pulling the kick or faking it. There's a sequel to Born to Fight. There's actually two sequels, but I've never seen Born to Fight 2, and I don't even know if it's been released. So that might have just got lost somewhere. But there's Born to Fight 3, or Gerd Mar Loy 3, which is a bit boring, but the last like 30 minutes is a big action fest, and that's really good. The king of the kind of series, though, the king of the ones I've seen of his, is Pluk Mun Kuen Ma Ka, which is basically Pan as the bad guy in it, interestingly. He's a kind of zombie in a funky leather jacket who just wanders around whooping ass. And that's all he does for the whole film. But, you know, there's busting out a few little styles, a bit of snake, kind of kung fu stuff into it. Tons of weapons. There's three section staff, swords, spears, everything's going on. It's just constant action. And the quality is really high, and it's really exciting, and that is definitely worth a watch. And I think Pluk Mun Kuen Ma Ka 2 is supposed to be quite good as well, but I haven't actually seen that one, so I couldn't vouch for it. But yeah, they're definitely worth it, as long as you keep your expectations super low and just want to see... have you ever heard the term outsider art?
No.
Where you have, like... Basically, people outside of the mainstream. So, you know, I remember watching a cool documentary on outsider music years ago on Channel 4 in the UK, where it's, you know, it's people who make it themselves or sell it on their website or do it in their bedroom. Like the guy who did Chocolate Rain. You kind of consider him like an outsider musician. It's kind of like an outsider a movie. It's cheap, it's low budget, it's kind of stupid, it's badly made in a lot of respects, but well made in some others, and it's kind of, you know, it's got character to it, it's got kind of a nutty kind of, you know, sensibility, a bit mental, that you wouldn't see in virtually any other film anywhere in the world. So it makes it kind of interesting and unique. So I'd say they were worth looking out for, but I think you have to be a kind of a bad movie and a bit of an action junkie to really kind of delve into it. Also, on a side note, they're all in, well, virtually all the ones I've seen, as far as I know, all of them are in full screen and really crappy quality. And so I've heard Panna doesn't even know if any widescreen versions, prints of the film still exist or are anywhere to be found. So if he doesn't know anything about it, then there's a chance that they've either been just chucked away. It's kind of like, you know, mass, a little bit the attitude in Hong Kong and probably maybe other territories where back in the 60s, 70s and 80s and stuff, a lot of the time, movies were just kind of, you know, you made it, it was a bit of entertainment, it played for a couple of months before home videos and DVDs and all that, and then, you know, you moved on to the next one and they made quickly and cheaply, and so you probably just wanted the storage paste and just chucked the reels away. Threw them in a bin, burnt them, whatever. So, yeah, any widescreen stuff will be lost. Which makes me wonder how you can have a Blu-ray of Hard Gun.
I think Spirit of the Killer is in widescreen as well. So maybe one of the few that actually that they found sources, albeit not pristine sources, but putting it on a Blu-ray seems a bit, I don't know, counterproductive.
Hmm. Well, it's probably one of the reasons why Spirited Warrior out, because Tony did quite a lot with Panna, but that's probably one of the reasons why that's got a DVD release and stuff, because it actually have a widescreen version. But yeah, most of them, the old Panna ones, the really old, the 80s cheapo ones, they're going to be a full screen and dodgy quality.
There's a side note to all of this that that I can bring, actually. IFD, at least in one case, you know, the great cut and paste people who made the ninja films, they made a movie called Kickboxer King. And when I saw that trailer, which is the movie is a mixture of from a time when IFD made a couple, they were on a kickboxing tear, you know, like they were on a ninja run. On a ninja run, they made a kickboxing movie. There's a movie called Kickbox of a Champion as well. And this movie mixes footage with Westerners. And what is definitely Thai, but definitely seems like it's from a Panna movie. Because, you know, you have great falls from moving cars, people just launching themselves into signs. And there's bloody gunplay in slow motion. And in the podcast post, you'll be able to see the trailer from Kickboxer King. And it looks quite, you know, the IFD footage was always, to me, entertaining. So it seems like if they cut up the Thai movie and only kept the best bits, the action, because it looks really good, you would have like a very bearable Panna movie, albeit it's not, surely not credit on this. It's bound to be Godfrey Ho or an alias. By the way, I think it's Alton Jung, which might be Godfrey Ho, but I believe that's what's on the print. And Kickboxer King, I mean, it has been mentioned, is one of those great IFD trailers with a great voiceover trailer man, because they didn't fall into the pattern that the trailer man for the big Hollywood movies fall into. No, they all said the most ludicrous things in these trailers, and I listened back to this one. So it's like I'm gonna try emulate it here. So basically, his body destroyed by drugs, he must struggle fiercely to reach the top. Very random, and also like the battle within is as brutal as the battle in the ring. And then they say the title of the movie about 20 times: Kickboxer King. It's great. I mean, there was a trailer on YouTube for IFD's Majestic Thunderbolt, which is great. There's a lot of random things that trailer man says, and he repeats that title a lot of times. Very, you know, the title sounds majestic, so therefore he sort of sounded majestic. Majestic Thunderbolt! It's great. So Kickboxer King trailer will be included in the podcast post, and I think that would like be the only minute chance to see a movie like that in widescreen, because in certain territories, the IFD movies, but in particular the Filmark, the rival company sort of movies, they turned up in widescreen in places like Greece and Japan, because they, in particular in Greece, they sold these movies and they got cinema runs, at least the ninja films. I don't know what it was like with the kickboxer films, but yeah, so maybe one day that will turn up in wide, albeit not as the complete original movie. But yeah, so probably Panna got the international exposure before Tony Jaa hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I was about to say, Ken, I think you've got a pretty good trailer voice there.
Watch too many.
consider possibly. A backup career or something?
Yeah, for IFD and not for... Well, maybe, you know, because I did try to emulate, like, the Spy Next Door thing earlier in the show. You know, he's facing his biggest challenge yet.
Changing nappies.
There's a great South Park episode where basically there's a character following around another character. And all the time, like... you know, as soon as the plot changes, he speaks out, the plot to this character in that stupid standard cliche trailer man voice that you hear on stupid comedies like The Spy Next Door, you know. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's good. It's good fun. And Kickboxer King, I would love to see that because what they probably did was how they fit in the plot from the Thai movie. And IFD normally didn't focus too much on fitting, you know, making the plot fit. The newly shot footage was, you know, just inserted. But probably there's some, you know, underground boxing and the Thai action is, you know, all the underground fighting that goes along with it. Probably. But the stunts looks mental.
Mm-hmm. Well, but looking at the trailer, I'm pretty sure that is Panna you can see on a couple of occasions.
And I do recognize it. Yeah, I think the trailer is like the most wicked stunts. I think they're like on a moving tractor, just driving wildly across the roads and like trying to stay on the truck. Which is.
Well, I haven't seen those old Panna films for a while, but yeah, I've got a feeling I have seen that they're ringing a bell in the trailer. So yeah, I'd say check the Panna films out rather than Kickboxer King.
And I'd say check both out because IFD movies are fun.
Yeah, that Kickboxer King bit at the end, that you talking about the fight on top of the truck, that's definitely Panna fighting. I think that's from Born to Fight.
Yeah.
And it's mental.
It would make for a good comparison piece, you know what I mean? Because Born to Fight is now... was it available? I'm sorry. I don't remember. The original Born to Fight, it was available.
Yeah, we can get it. It's on the Rarescope label, and so in the UK from Rarescope or from BCI in the US.
And you never know if you can find like Kickboxer King in the bargain bin, because normally these IFD movies, they are available on cheap DVDs. So it would make for a fun comparison piece. Double bill.
Hmm. You got anything to say, Stuart?
I like Thai action.
Actually, as I mentioned on the website earlier in the week, the Thai film Fireball is getting a cinema release on January 8th. Wait, this Friday, yes.
In the UK?
Yes. Limited to London.
Yeah, what a surprise.
So, yep. Zero that, or the DVD release is coming by the end of the month. Oh, no, actually, a couple weeks later, 18th of January. Released on DVD and Blu-ray. It promises, well, it's quoted to prepare to witness the most mind-blowing martial arts action film since Ong Bak.
I won't prepare myself for that, because I'll probably just be let down.
Mm-hmm. I really hope it's a basketball movie.
Isn't it like an underground sport where you lob a ball around and kick the shit out of each other?
Yep.
Yeah. Could be good.
So, if you're in London, why not go see it? You can let us know if it's any good.
And on the website, there's a lot of links to the various cinemas showing this.
Yes, yes. Lovely. I've done the work for you. But if you want more details about the movie, it is www.fireballmovie.com. Or you can actually just visit us, podcastonfire.com, and we do have a trailer on our homepage at the moment.
So are we segueing into a section on the DVD release and Blu-ray of Ong Bak 2?
We are now.
We have smooth. To now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Ong Bak's getting a DVD release.
And Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. High def.
So you could see... No, that again. Tony Jaa's sweaty body as he kicks fuck out other people. I'm really coming down on a sugar high here. You're lucky my head's just not hitting the table.
Well, I'll hijack this fucking year.
Back then.
15th of February in 2010. This year, thankfully. Ong Bak is getting a DVD and Blu-ray release and blah, blah, blah. But I'm not too sure who's doing it. It might be
Sony, isn't it?
Oh, they have worldwide rights, or at least UK, or...
Well, Revolver released it at the cinema, but apparently Sony are doing the DVD, or distributing anyway. I don't know if Revolver are in the making of the disc, but yeah, Sony.
And it will
in America,
have...
it's Magnolia, and in Australia, it's Siren.
Right, so it's not a worldwide thing down there. But yeah, On Back the Beginning, it's known as in the UK, not On Back 2. And it's this link to the announcement and the cover art and stuff will be on the site, and I'm sure it's going to be a pretty decent seller. Tony Jaa has established himself in the UK, and if you see that Blu-ray or DVD in the shops, I mean, it's very, very noticeable what it is. You know, it's not subtle. And it's a rated 15, so don't go watching it if you're below that.
I'm going to say balls to the UK release, Ken. That's what I'm saying to it, balls.
Right.
Now, I've been checking out what's available, and the US disc looks easily the best option. For one, it comes out 2 weeks earlier, on Feb 2nd, and the extras would be HDNet, which is a TV channel in America, a look at Ong Bak 2. It's got a behind-the-scenes documentary, and it's got, broken into separate parts. There's one called Story, the Story and Character and Epic, Revealing the Majesty, The Art of War, The Kingdom, The Community, interviews with Tony Jaa and everyone. It's got the international trailer on there, but it's also got... exclusive footage of Ong Bak 3, which is, you know, it's going to get me a bit of a boner. And, I mean, this is obviously, it's not out for a while, so it's got all change, but apparently it's got an alternate cut of Ong Bak 2 on there. Wow. Now, according to IMDb, the version released in the US or Britain, I can't remember which one now, ran for about 98 minutes. But there's one timed that ran at a film festival in Germany, Berlin Film Festival maybe, that went for 110 minutes. Now that could be, you know, could be cobblers, but I mean, there's a chance here by the looks of it that there's an extended cut of the film. Because as far as I know, the one that came out in Europe and the US as well was the same as the one that came out in the cinemas in Thailand. So this might be one that just came out initially for film festivals and, you know, basically film festivals and trade type stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's looking a more exciting package, I think, than the UK one at the moment. I mean, this stuff could be on the UK one and they just haven't announced it, but I wonder why they wouldn't if they're putting press stuff out and nobody else has mentioned it on any site. So I say keep an eye on the American one.
Yeah.
And that's on Blu-ray as well as DVD.
Of course, we'll link both copies.
Yes.
So you can make your choice. From the looks of it, On Bak 2 DVD is looking at the handsome price of $17.
Not too bad for what they're offering or seemingly are going to offer.
Yeah, I don't think that's it's not an unreasonable price. It's going to be a two-discer collector's edition, apparently. Ooh. But
well,
yeah,
if it's a collector's edition, it must be collected.
Seems to have a.
Please continue.
Well, the Blu-ray is only down as $15, so if you can do Blu-ray, then go for that instead. Mm-hmm. Although the special features haven't got as many listed as the DVD, so I don't know what the dealio with that is. It's two discs, so it should still have the same stuff as the DVD.
We'll find out soon enough.
Yep.
So, plug in. Mike, you got anything to plug today?
Well, you can always go to FarEastFilms.com, which, as I was doing a random Google search, I put in Asian movie news. FarEastFilms.com was the number one hit on Google.
So not too shabby.
Oh, yeah, not too shabby at all. Yeah, so FarEastFilms.com. Always lots of stuff on there for you. Other than that, nope, I ain't got anything.
Ken?
No, nothing. I put in Sleazy K in Google.
Oh.
In Google. I didn't come up, which is very disappointing. Oh. There's a lot of key that sleazy, but they're obviously not as good.
Well, one assumes you've searched for your actual name.
Yeah, yes, on many occasions. Daily. But yeah, if I do that, my site and the MySpace and the Facebook and the Twitter sort of comes up. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting that when you do that, you know, all the ones are for you. There's not that many Kenny Brawsons, apparently, on the internet.
No.
Working away. But your first review that pops up is for The Legend of Sex and Chopsticks 2.
Yeah, of course. The Forbidden Legend.
Well, yeah. Of course.
It's a popular review, so.
Of course.
And if you...
It's got chopsticks in it.
Yeah. Well, it's barely. It's like...
They're only used on one person.
Only used in one scene and barely, you know, so. It was a sort of disappointment with that series. Yep, so.
If you put your name into Google and go to images, there's actually, on the first page, there's three pictures of Ken.
Oi!
If you go to, if you put in Mike Banner, there's about half a dozen pictures of a black American footballer who's called Mike Banner.
Oh. I'm going to say, there are some dashing photos of you, Mike.
And if you put in Stuart Sutherland, you get a picture of Ekin Cheng.
Oh, my Lord.
That's the closest you get.
That's because I'm going to have to actually Google my name. I remember in college, there was a photo of me and a giant inflatable mug. But, yeah. there's also, I think, an MP who shares the same title. Yes, there is no Ekin Cheng.
Well, isn't that Ekin on Heroic
yes,
Duo?
Yes, yes.
See?
Second row, third along. Oh, see, the other one is a gravestone with my name on it. Right, close the window. Right, so, plug in.
Google image. Type in your name and Google image. Have fun.
Hey, you were 7.
So, you can,
you were 74, though, Stu.
Yeah, you can interact with the show via email. podcastonfire@googlemail.com or Twitter. Yes, just type the address twitter.com/podcastonfire, one word of course. And we've also launched a new Facebook page, just search Podcast on Fire. So yes, send us your questions, comments, suggestions and or death threats. Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. On that note.
Plus the death threats. Mm-hmm. Be honest, or just direct him towards Ken or something. Sleazy K. He'd enjoy him.
SleazyK@googlemail.com. I'll promise you that address exists and that it's my address.
Mm-hmm. So I've been your host for this evening. I'm Stuart Sutherland.
Kenneth Bosom.
Mike.
And yes, there is no outro music because Stuart's forgotten.
Dun, 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 dun.
How could that be in exit music? I mean, come on, you have to have something better. We need something decent for
what? Bounchika, bounchika, bounchika,
bounchika. Anyway, here
we go.
At least we tried.
Aye, right, well, go on, this is time to say goodbye. Again.
Bye. Nice to meet you. Ended.
Did you just say Ekin's balls? What the hell? I've played this music already.
You only hear what you want to hear, Stu.
Right, okay.
We're going to put lyrics to that Wild Heart song now.
Sure, anyway, right. We've totally ruined our ending, but still.
We.
Shut up.
Me and Ken were trying then. We were...
you're trying to ruin the
beatboxing. End. We were scatting. We were improvising. Mm-hmm. We were, you know...
And yeah. Now you have to clean up all this scat you've made.
Go on then, get the music on, let's go.
We've done this, have we not?
That's how you're leaving it?
Yes, this you're actually extending the
end,
show longer.
The end.
We're just arguing more. They're never going to hear me fucking up that question until, like, now. So was this provided to us by anyone, or was this...
Me.
It's by Paul Kenya.
All right, I thought you'd gotten another message on Facebook or something.
Nah, that was me.
Okay. So, our question this week has been provided to us by a mysterious Swede. The question reads, on the subject of Thai action, I've heard there's things on a...
What the fuck?
I've heard there's an original Born to Fight, and then a remade one from a few years ago. How is that in comparison, at least in the terms of action? Is it crazy stunts, fall, fights, like just on a minute budget? Should people seek out original/old ones, if available? Are there more movies remade? Fuck, Ken, you could just butchered English language.
Smooth. I've got a question about the question.
Okay. See, and I'm the mysterious Swede if anyone was doubting it, because only one person in Sweden listens. It's the one that participates in the show.
Why is Stu reading out a question that you wrote, Ken?
I don't know. He's the host.
It's weird.
Would you like me to read it to you, Mike? Would that make you more comfortable?
I think it would sound a lot more... better on the show if you did read it, Ken.
Do it in your sleazy voice. Yeah, that's more like it.
On the subject. Half an hour later and only on the second sentence. Yeah.
You're just about past it. Not all your sleazy consciousness.
I would find like sexual innuendo in every single word. Subject. Now I'm gonna read it out straight if I can.
Okay, you could start that bit all over again if you like. Yeah.
Make your editing points.
Yep.
Okay. Now keep all this in.
Hell no.
It's gold.
Well, at least at the end of the show you can have it. You know, I'll take at the end of the show.
Okay.
Please.